The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's I on Real Estate on AM 970. The Answer.
AM 970 presents I on Real Estate. This is your premier source for real estate information. From the hot properties in the tri-state to the latest in real estate market trends. From mortgage news to answers to all of your real estate questions, you'll be in the know with help from the experts. Call now, 866-970-9622. 866-970-9622. Now, here's your host for I on Real Estate, Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
Good morning, I'm Dottie Herman, and you are listening to Ion Real Estate. Of course, we're one of the only talk show radio shows that have been on for 11 years straight, and we talk about real estate, all the millions of things that have to do with real estate, whether it be financing, legal, neighbors, and we're always interested in hearing any of your questions, because if you have a question, call in. I'm sure a million other people have the same question. We love hearing from you, so please call us at 866-970-9622. Of course, I don't have to introduce him. He's been on for the 11 years with me. Senior Vice President of Citizens Bank, Ace Wanasupar. And Ace is going to tell you all about what's going on with the mortgage industry and the onslaught of mortgages and refinances and adjustable rates. Maybe should you take an adjustable rate with the interest rates this low? I don't think so, but we'll ask the expert. I also want to thank...
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning,
Stephen. Good morning,
Ace. Good morning, everyone. We all want to thank Citizens Bank. Citizens has been a bank that was founded to help citizens, regular people like you and me, and not just big corporations. Last year, Citizens was the third largest lending in the Northeast. And you can easily find more information at citizensbank.com, or you can call them any time of the day, 24/7, 7 days a week, 1-800-922-9999. And we really all thank Citizens for their support. And of course, Stephen Ebert is our legal expert, and he's a partner at Cassin & Cassin. And Stephen is here to talk about any legal things. And by the way, today he's going to talk about some legal updates on co-ops that you're going to want to know about because they're very new. And again, we try to keep you all informed because somebody who has information is power. Today at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by
morning,
Jerry.
Morning, Daddy. Minsky. Good morning, Ace.
Good morning. Good morning. We'll be joined by Jerry Minsky, and Jerry has three decades. He's been the leader, probably one of the best people who know Brooklyn, better than anyone that I know. I mean, if anything that I need about Brooklyn, I call Jerry. He's a true expert. And when you hear him, you're going to hear in his voice, without seeing him, you'll be able to hear in his voice his love for Brooklyn. And we've talked a lot about New York City, so we're going to give some Brooklyn some time today for you to see exactly what's going on in Brooklyn. Remember, you can call us at 866-970-9622. If you want to listen to us, okay, you can listen to us live, okay, by going to 970 on AM radio. If not, or if you don't get those waves, you can click on Ion Real Estate, click live, and you will get our show. Or you can go to iTunes, search Ion Real Estate, and listen to your favorite shows. We have them all there, so you could go back and find anyone that you might have missed. And, of course, 970 also has all of our shows, so you can click to your favorite past show. Again, we love to hear from you, 866-970-9622. So I usually like to tell you in the beginning of the show anything that's going on that's really currently very new. And obviously, you know, the pandemic, we don't know what's really... I don't want to say that I know what's happening here, but they're starting to say there's another wave of some of the pandemic. And the governments in New Zealand, Canada, China, South Korea, and Ireland have all taken steps to try to, like, keep it contained, okay? However, some of those markets are starting to cool off. Sydney, Australia, is in lockdown again. South Korea is on the cusp, and new cases of COVID-19 are on the rise across Europe. So first of all, just want to say it's not over. I mean, I'm one of the first people who said, I'm done. I don't want to wear these masks. I'm done. I've had it. But it looks like we still have to be careful and not let, you know, we've come this far. We've come so far. I don't want us to go backwards again. In Britain, the cases of COVID are up almost 29%. And Indonesia extends COVID restrictions. So we're in New York. We get a lot of travelers. The spread of the COVID virus is this one is really getting haywire again. However, the good news is they say that if you have been vaccinated, that you probably will just get sick and you will not die from it. So that's the good news. But if you haven't been vaccinated, really, get vaccinated, okay? It's not over yet, okay? So I just had to say that. As far as news that's very new, President Joe Biden's stimulus package included $46 billion for renters facing evictions, okay? Only 4% of the funds have been dispersed. I am not sure whether they're slow or the people haven't applied for it. I did a show two weeks ago. I told you that if you cannot afford to pay rent after, I think it's, what is it, August, that when this thing is over, there's a form you can get from the city. The city has a special fund. You have to qualify for it, but the income, you know, you have to show that you're not working or that your income is low and you can't afford the rent. And if you qualify, and I don't think it's very, like, difficult. I mean, it didn't look that difficult to me. The numbers were pretty high. You can have your rent paid, and New York State will pay the rent directly to your landlord. So please, I'm not going to go through all the details of that again, but really look into it. I know a couple of people who are paying rent or asked me to borrow money to pay rent, and I said, well, that's fine, but you really need to look into this because you probably will qualify for not paying rent. So anybody that's having any financial difficulties, please, and if you can't get through or you can't find the number, just text us or email us or call us and let us know, and we'll get you all the exact information. I think I did it 2 weeks ago, but I'll do it again if I have to. In the national news, house prices are rising at their fastest rate since 2007. And out of the 150 cities that we tracked, 43 of them have annual price growth over 10%. And that is a lot. A combination of a lot of forces are driving our growth, a severe undersupply of housing in many locations has been exacerbated by the slowdown in construction because of the wood and during the pandemic. And as you can tell, you have to wait for everything now. If you want to buy furniture or beds or bicycles, everything is really, usually is taking a long time unless you have some great connection. So it's exploding. As you know, in New York, the real estate gets, the Democratic nominee was Eric Adams. and the New York Public Library, for those of you who use it, it's one of the most beautiful libraries in the country, is opening. It reopens. Most of its branches this month are open, and that's after being closed all through the pandemic. So you'll be happy about that. In New Jersey, the office vacancy rate is near 19%, so it's pretty high, but they're working on doing that. They're trying to figure out ways to use that office space for other things, which I think they'll do in New York too. You know, we had that horrible, horrific incident in Florida, and I don't know if this is a result of that incident that we had in Florida or they were just checking buildings. But in New York, more than 300 New York City construction sites shut down for safety violations. Now, I don't know if it's coincidental that it just so happens to be they were checking everything and it just so happened we had that horrible incident in Florida. But either way, I think that's a good thing because we want to make sure our buildings are safe. A slew of stop work orders were handed down to New York City construction sites in the past few weeks as part of a major safety crackdown from the Department of Buildings. And there was a total of 322 sites that were shut down. So that's a horrible incident. I really, again, our hearts go out to all the families and people that lost loved ones. But as a result of that, the upside of that is they're really double checking everything to make sure that everything is safe. The market is moving.
And Dottie, if I can just add on those safety checks, if I can add one thing on those safety checks. Part of it is also worker safety. So I don't want the audience to think that those 300 temporary suspensions are because of faulty construction. Most of the safety violations are technical ones for worker safety. And that's also very important, of course, but I just want people to know, I would not want them to think that all safety violations are construction related.
That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up because it sounded the way I said it, as if it's just violations that had nothing to do with workers. So that's a good thing. We want to keep our buildings safe, the people in the building safe, and of course the people who work on buildings safe. Institutional buyers are flooding the single home market. The institutional buyers dropped $77 billion, meaning they spent $77 billion on homes, buying up homes in the past 6 months. So that tells you, if you want to, you know, not that anything is guaranteed, but that tells you if the institutional buyers are buying up that many homes, that they expect the market to hold up. And that compares to $55 billion that was spent in 2020. Overall, the number of homes that were acquired by investors jumped 2.7%. And investors are now mostly focused on single-family homes, which made up the biggest share of acquisitions and the first quarter growth year over year. So that's that tells you that the housing demand, at least the institutional buyers believe it's going to be here, and they're really getting ready for it. There are some people that are looking to flip properties, and that's a portion of some of those investors are taking old properties and redoing them and flipping them. Which is another show we'll do for you. But all with the housing market, everything looks positive. I don't want to get into this virus again, but New York, you know, it's in New York too. It's in all the boroughs. So please just be careful with it. As Jersey has a problem with office space, Manhattan's office market faces a worsening supply problem. And so they're working on it and they're trying to come up with different things. I just might guess. I think eventually they might do some residential homes housing there. I don't know. What do you think, Steve or Ace? I mean, I think that's an alternative because we always can use more housing. Talking about the Hamptons home buying frenzy is starting to, like, level off. I'm still busy, but it dropped 37%. Now, anybody would say, my goodness, what's happening? If you just listen to the number, the Hamptons has dropped 37%. Well, everything is relative. The amount of sales we had was astronomical. So 37% really is still giving us a higher than normal market. It's still busy, but it's starting to slow up as people return to the city, as the city opens up. Okay, I think that you will probably see the city, you know, everyone says, oh, Donnie, the city's back, the city's back. And it's back, but it's not really 100% back. I think you're going to start really seeing it come back in September. I just was at a birthday party for Wendy Fetterman, who is a big plot in Broadway, and Broadway will be opening in September. So I think that that's kind of really where we're looking at. Amazon is building warehouses all over the place. I know on Long Island they're building a big one in Syosset, and they're building their warehouses because the pandemic, one of the effects that's going to continue is we all got used to shopping online on Amazon because that was the only thing we could do at the time. But that trend stayed on. People are still using it. I still use it. So they're really beefing up. And they're trying this in some other countries. I don't know if it'll ever make New York, but what do you think of this, Ace or Steven? They're trying, I'm in love with a four-day week, and they're trying for a four-day week to go mainstream in some other countries. What do you think? Think that'll ever happen here?
Yeah, I definitely think. Go ahead, Steven.
No, you guys, you first.
No, I think it's going to be the new normal, Dottie. You know, I think people are planning on coming back to the office environment about 3 days to 4 days. So that 4 day week sounds pretty accurate, Dottie. But we'll see. We'll see how the employers react and what type of, I guess, excitement that they bring back to the offices. And I think that's what a lot of folks are working on now, which is how do we build morale? How do we make it more of an environment for folks to come back? But I think, you know, if you have something that's being done for about 3 months, it doesn't really become the norm. But having something become a year and a half of just staying home and being used to a routine, that's going to be something that people will, it's going to become harder for folks to come back and come into what we considered normal pre-pandemic. So I think the 4 day week is here to stay, or 4 day weekend is here to stay. It's just how do you maximize productivity and efficiency? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. What do you think, Steven?
I'm just hoping to have a 5 day work week.
5 day work week.
Before the show, dealing with some emails and planning stuff. It's interesting. I think it's very industry driven. I think in real estate, we're very much you can't be 24/7, right? You have to have a life. You have to do your research. You have to live and do things. But we are definitely more of a sort of 7 day a week type model. So it's part of an ongoing conversation. And maybe I'm a little more sensitive to it because of, you know, where what we do, you know, but the fine line between work and home and devices, I think at some point there is going to be a sort of rebound, right? You have one extreme and the other, and then you sort of find that magic middle. And I think as a society, we're still trying to figure that out.
Right, but I think, I kind of agree with Ace in the sense that, first of all, what's really happened from this pandemic is people got used to living in two homes. Well, because they moved out of their homes in the city. And then, you know, now they're like going back, like maybe the city, as Ace said, 2 or 3 days a week, maybe 4, 2, 3. But people, so now that second home doesn't just become a second home that you use kind of like on holidays and weekends. It's kind of becoming like people are having dual residences. you know, they'll stay in one home 3 or 4 days, then they'll go back to the city and stay in an apartment there. So I think it's really changing how people look at housing and second homes. And that's why I think I told you months ago, you should have listened if you didn't, I said second homes are going to boom. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll talk about that. And then Stephen's got some changes that we want to talk about that have just come up that you need to know about with the co-ops. We'll be right back. You're listening to Eye on Real Estate. I'm Dottie Herman. 866-970-9622. Call us with any questions you have.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo telling you about Connors and Sullivan. You need a will. You need a trust. You need power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, or estate plan. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make the decisions, who will? You know what? You got to go to ConnorsandSullivan.com, or you can call Mike Connors at 718-238-6500. Or you can attend a Connors and Sullivan free seminar and have all your questions answered by Mr. Connors himself. Tuesday, July 27th at Buckley's Avenue S in Marine Park, Brooklyn, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., 7 p.m. Wednesday, July 28th, Connolly's in Maspeth, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., 7 p.m. Thursday, July 29th at the Bay Ridge Manor. That's 11, 3, and 7 p.m. Friday, July 30th at the Adria Hotel in Bayside, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Mike Connors always says the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all. Please call 718-238-6500, attend these seminars, or go to ConnorsandSullivan.com.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? How would you like to participate in stock market gains but never stock market losses? Join us for the Safe Money Radio Show Saturday afternoon at 3. You can also call now for your complimentary customized Safe Money information kit and 115-page Safe Money book at 844-751-SAFE. That's 844-751-SAFE. 844-751-7233. The Safe Money Radio Show, Sunday afternoon at 3 on AM 970, The Answer.
Are you worried about having lung cancer? I worry about everything, of course. But instead of worrying, go see my friends at Trinitas for a screening. If you're between 50 and 80 years old and have a 20-pack year smoking history, you know, like if you've been smoking like that, or even if you've quit in the past 15 years, listen to me, please. It's no joke. It's time for a lung screening. Give them a call. Make an appointment right now at 908-994-5984. It's 908-994-5984. It's low-dose, painless, non-invasive, fast and easy, and only takes 30 seconds at Trinitas to have a screening, and it could save your life. Finding out if you have lung cancer while it's still curable makes all the difference. If you catch it in time, you can beat it. Screenings are covered by most insurance. Do it for your family. Do it for yourself. Just do it. You can count on Trinitas to take care of you. 908-994-5984. Make an appointment. It's 908-994-5984.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers, making buying decisions right now and for the future. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundNewYork.com. SurroundNewYork.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Thank you. It's Eye on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back. You're listening to I Am Real Estate. I'm here with Ace Wadasupar, our financial guy, and Stephen Ebert, our legal, myself. I like to think of myself as a pretty good real estate expert. And we're talking about real estate today. We're going to talk about inflation and how that is affecting pricing. And also, we could talk about Brooklyn, like I said before. And this market is overheated. It's so overheated. We're going to talk about whether this, how long that's going to, people think that can last. But before we do that, I want to turn this over to Stephen because there are some major legal updates that he would like to make you aware of. I think it's important for you all to know. Stephen, take it away.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, thanks, Daddy. There's a number of legal updates. Before I do that, I think we do have one caller on the line. Tony? Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Dottie. Oh,
how are
it's so
you?
Nice to talk to you. Oh, my
nice
God, I've been listening to you for years.
Oh, thank you. We love our listeners.
You are wonderful and so well-informed.
Oh, thanks, Tony. Now you put a big smile on my face and you made my day.
Oh,
I'm glad.
Any
day. How can we help? Well, thanks for calling. And how can we help you? What questions might you have?
All right, I'm in dire straits. I've been in contract since March with my co-op. And my daughter's dog, who lived with me, bit my neighbor. The neighbor put a suit on me and a claim on the co-op. Now, I've settled with my neighbor already with the bite. But in the meantime, I didn't know any of this, but I've been selling my co-op, and I've been in contract since March. And in March, and now it's July, and these people, the buyers, have already passed everything. They've passed the Zoom, they passed the meeting, the interview. They're highly qualified, but my co-op is holding up the sale because they say they have an outstanding claim from my neighbor against the dog bite. And they want to be indemnified by me. But I've settled with my neighbor. It took my entire insurance policy.
Yeah.
And
so in other words,
I have a hold harmless letter from my neighbor.
Okay,
that
so you settled.
I cannot be sued for this.
But obviously,
yes.
And I'm going to let Stephen take this. This is legal. But obviously, they sued your board also. Stephen, I think this requires your expertise.
Sure. So, Tony, sorry that you're going through this. There's a few questions that I would have to get a final answer here, but the couple things. Number one, was a lawsuit actually filed, or did they just send a threatening letter?
To the co-op?
Did you have a lawsuit was actually filed?
No, there was no
against
lawsuit
you and the
filed.
Co-op. And normally...
For me, yes, but not for the co-op.
Okay, great. So they filed
only
a lawsuit
a claim.
Against you, but not against the co-op.
Right, there's only an open claim,
well,
of which I have verified.
Again, okay, let me get this clear again. Either they filed something with the court or not.
No.
They file anything in a court of law anywhere? Okay.
For me, yes.
So that's the first question. Okay.
For you, but
as far as you're aware, has something been filed? Yes. Yes or no? Just trying to be able to figure this out for a second.
Something was filed in the court
so
for
as you're aware of,
but I've settled.
Yeah, but what Stephen's asking you is,
so
what about
is,
the co-op? Did they file legally against the co-op also?
No. No, there is no outstanding legal suits. Only a claim. They have a letter.
Okay.
That's all they have.
Okay, so in the process of settling, Did the attorney who's handling the real estate transaction handle it, or your insurance company handle the negotiation to settle? You know?
In the process. My insurance company received a letter of hold homeless, and because Glen Oaks was not named on my suit, I got a letter in my name, and it's very vague, but it kind of it's inclusive that anything surrounding this incident, I would be protected from.
Okay. Couple more questions so I can get some. And the reason, and I'm not to put you on the spot, but just to try to give you a better answer, there's always a lot
absolutely
more detail
not
to find out.
Yes.
Right, now, are you
– yes.
Now, are you able to speak to this neighbor, or you're really not on speaking terms at all because of what happened?
Well, she won't speak to me, but I could talk to her if I need to. She just
okay.
won't answer, maybe.
So the real question is, you know, trying to find out what communication has there been between the co-op and the neighbor, because if the harm has been remedied, you know, you can't really get too. You can't get paid twice off the same harm. Now, the thing that normally happens is when one brings a case is you name all the possible defendants. And, you know, it sounds like what needs to happen is really just some communication. The co-op with that shareholder. And, look, they're the ones that are going to stay in the building. So if they've already been compensated for their harm by your insurance company, it would seem that the best thing to do is get the co-op to be in touch with them and say, look, we know that you settled your claim with your neighbor, and we would like to have a writing from you that you consider the matter fully settled and the matter closed.
They won't do that.
They won't do that.
They won't. They want to leave the claim
okay.
open just in case they have to sue a couple of years from now or something.
So that means that you could never sell your apartment.
Well, you mean the neighbor? No.
The neighbor's attorney.
I think what happens is. Mm-hmm.
The neighbor's attorney will not settle. Will not release the claim against Glen Oaks. Just in case something happens later on in a year or two where they can open up the claim and sue them. Right now they have no case.
There's probably some more details, and it's tough to give this full kind of answer on the radio. But typically what happens, and a court would not look fondly upon what they're doing, is that you name all the defendants at once. The courts generally do not like it when you try to pick off one defendant and then try to go after another one later, because the whole idea is that there is one source, there's one element of harm that happened. It's not like there were two separate dog bites. There was one incident, and it's not like you can then make one incident multiple cases. It should be all one encompassing case. I would try to have your attorney speak to your insurance company to try to see if something can be worked out to give the building further comfort. The other thing is also this matter would typically be covered by the building insurance. And the other thing also, I think they'd probably have a very weak claim, your neighbor against the co-op, because the reality is, and I'm making some factual assumptions here, I'm assuming that the co-op has a regular pet policy. You've had your pet there, an allowance of that,
yes.
And
yes.
It is not the obligation of the co-op
yes.
to be responsible because an individual dog of one shareholder had an incident once. Were there repeated incidents? It was just a one
no.
incident, right?
Just
it wasn't
one incident.
Multiple times. It was just one time. Yeah, so generally the nickname for it, it's sort of the one-bite rule. The general proposition when it comes to it's the assumption that dogs are generally not a problem, and unless if they have a bad history of biting people, then the presumption is that no one would know, both you as an owner and definitely as a building. So if you look at most of the building pet policies, they sometimes will have, they'll separate dogs out that have a bad history versus ones that don't have any history. And so I think also the chance of liability for the co-op is probably extraordinarily low based on, again, I'm not hearing the full story, but based on what I'm sensing here is I think it's very, very low. I think what you need to do is have your attorney that's handling the real estate matter really go on the offensive. If you sit there passively, no one else is going to care. Your neighbor doesn't care when you sell, co-op doesn't. So you need to really go on the offensive of pushing things forward to get it to resolution.
Yeah. Get your attorney on it.
I know we're coming to...
Have your attorney call the board, okay? And he can tell them why what they're doing is not legal. But have that done right away. Otherwise, like you said, you could be sitting around for a long time.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. My friends over at Route 22 Toyota want me to remind you that if you're tired of dealing with dummies, get over to the state-of-the-art service facility in Hillside, New Jersey, please. Alex Kinsella has the entire team staying safe, wearing masks, socially distancing, fogging vehicles with every single service to make sure they're disinfected. At Route 22 Toyota, they always get it right. They're doing their part to stay safe. Plus, right now, Route 22 Toyota is offering qualified buyers more reasons than ever to get into a new Toyota, like 0% APR. APR financing up to 5 years and zero down leases on some of your favorite Toyota models. Call 855-621-9949 for details and make sure to tell them Joe sent you. 855-621-9949 to schedule a test drive, and Route 22 Toyota will get you driving a new Toyota with 0% interest or zero down leases. Now that is the smart way to buy. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route 22 Toyota.
Dear Cancer, if you think you're going to put my life on hold, think again. I did my homework and I found a cancer treatment option that requires no surgery, minimal downtime, and virtually no side effects. It's called proton therapy at ProCure Proton Therapy Center. Proton therapy targets cancer tumors more precisely than traditional radiation therapy, with less radiation to nearby healthy tissues. And thanks to ProCure, I don't have to travel far for treatment. Located in Somerset, ProCure is New Jersey's most experienced proton therapy center, offering the most advanced form of radiation with the most precise technology. That's right, Cancer. I still have the choice and energy to go on that hike with friends or spend a Saturday afternoon with my grandkids. I chose proton therapy at ProCure, and now my hope has been restored. I'm living my best life. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, visit ProCure.com or call 855-3-PROTON today.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation, as you know, has been supporting our nation's heroes and their families since 9/11. And to mark 20 years this year, the foundation is giving 120 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and catastrophically injured veterans and first responders. To honor America's fallen heroes, the foundation's chairman and CEO, Frank Siller, is walking from the Pentagon to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and on to Ground Zero. His more than 500-mile journey through six states in 42 days begins August 1st and fittingly finishes on 9/11 at Ground Zero. It's a moving tribute. The foundation is bringing back Towers of Light to the memorials at the Pentagon and in Shanksville in September. Help America to never forget America's greatest heroes. Do good, please, in their honor. Please help out. It's only $11 a month. It goes to T2T.org. It's just like that, T the number 2 and then T.org. So proud to tell you about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Advertex Communications, Inc., Advertex, has openings in New York, New York for Specialist Marketing Solutions, job 11908.962, to participate in end-to-end documentation of data and reporting requirements for marketing systems projects. Mail your resume to advertex/Macy's, 5985 State Bridge Road, Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. Attention Kayla Carson. Must reference job 11908.962.
It's I on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
Listening to Ion Real Estate. Stevie is going to give you a quick update on some changes, and then I'm going to get Ace on the line. He's to talk about an article that I read that I like his input on. It says that mortgage payments are more expensive than they've been because prices are going up. And it says applications for ARMs, which are adjustable rate mortgages, have been steadily growing and are up 12.5% year over year. And I'd love after Steve gets through with his update for Ace to tell us a little about that. Okay, so Steve, you have a quick update on condos or co-ops?
There are a couple of big changes recently. So if people recall, back in 2019, New York State passed a law called the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act. And we've talked about it before on the show. That put a lot of limitations. That limited security deposits to 1 month, regardless of whether it's regulated or market, number of things. But because in a co-op, the owner has a proprietary lease, co-ops got thrown into a law that was designed to be to address really rental buildings. That was recently modified, and a lot of the restrictions have been removed. Now, some of them had to do with how much a co-op could increase maintenance by. Some of them had to do with limitations on co-ops, what they could charge for late fees. Those have really been removed. The biggest one that I want to talk about, which will affect the market, and I think in a positive way, is the decision that co-ops can require a buyer to put money in escrow. So prior to 2019, for a lot of buyers who might have, let's say, shaky financial history, a first-time buyer who there's not much of a history, a building might say, look, we like you, but we're a little bit nervous. We're willing to approve your deal. We'll give you a conditional consent on the condition that you put a year's worth of maintenance in escrow to make sure you pay your maintenance on time to the co-op. So that was something that was out there. When this law passed in 2019, that tool was effectively removed from co-ops. Now, with the recent change in the last couple of weeks, co-ops can require escrow again. And that's a very, very important development. You know, on the one side, someone might say, oh, that's terrible. Why should somebody have to put money into escrow? But I'm telling people, what some co-ops have been doing is if they couldn't do the escrow, they're just rejecting the deal. So I think this is helpful for the market, and particularly for buyers who are maybe borderline buyers, for co-ops to say, you know, we're willing to let that deal go through. So that's a very big development. I have another one, but before I get to that, any questions on that, Dottie or Ace?
No, just I think that just keep us posted, but, and I'm not, you know, I think it's a catch-22. I think it's going to make some people not be able to afford to buy something. So I think that's an added cost that people might have to come, and it might stop some people from being able to purchase. On the other hand, if you live in a co-op, you want to make sure that it's kept up to date and that all the repairs are done, and you don't want to see that people don't have the money. So I think we'll just have to wait and see. I think it's a mixed bag. I think there's some good things, but I agree. I think affordability is really becoming a problem now. That's really what I want to talk to Ace about because of the escalation of prices all over. So affordability being a problem, I think that just adds on to it. So I'm just not sure if I think the timing is great of that. But that's just my opinion. And it didn't happen yet, so you'll keep us posted and let us know when it does.
This one is the new rule. This is in effect. It's basic. So this basically, it's a return to where things were before 2019. So that is in effect now going forward. And for anyone who's on their co-op board, they may not have been updated on that yet, but it's definitely a tool in the arsenal that's there of how things were.
Steve,
I want to give one more co-op update.
But Steve, can I ask one question on that? Is there like a rule of thumb, like percentage that somebody might have to know ahead of time that, you know, I'm going to buy this co-op, I'm going to have to have X percent put on the side for maintenance? Is there like a rule of thumb?
Well, that is a great question. Before I answer that question, I want to tell you about one other law because it exactly addresses the heart of the question that you just asked. And what happened is there is a new law that's in effect for a couple of weeks now, in Westchester County only. So the law that I just mentioned before is New York statewide, but this new law that I want to mention is Westchester County only. And they have required a number of things now when it comes to co-ops. The first one, which goes exactly to your point, is co-ops in Westchester County must disclose what their financial requirements are to be admitted to the co-op.
Hello?
So that's a very big change. So co-ops now in Westchester County have to disclose what their requirements are financially. The second one is if you are turned down by a co-op in Westchester County, the board has to give a reason why you were turned down. And then the last part is that board members for Westchester co-ops now must take 2 hours of fair housing training every 2 years. There's some other things too, but those are the big elements of this new law that's in effect. Again, both of these new sets of rules that I mentioned are new, and they are the current state of the law in New York State and Westchester County, respectively. And I think, you know, Dottie, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of people, when they're looking at buying a co-op, they go in with a little bit of nervousness and uncertainty. Am I qualified? Am I not? What can I do? And the new Westchester law will help alleviate some of that uncertainty. And it's interesting, Westchester has a lot of co-ops, and now since Westchester borders the northern part of New York City, it'll be very curious to see how New York City looks at how that law. So I think in the over the next year or two, New York City City Council, there was already one subcommittee that was looking into this concept. They're going to be watching very closely what happens in Westchester County. Does it affect turndowns? Does it affect litigation over co-op or turndowns? So definitely something that we're watching very closely.
Thank you, Steve. And I'm sure you're going to keep us posted because that's news to me. I didn't even know that. Ace, hopefully.
Yes, Dottie. You
know, we've been hearing so much. I mean, prices are escalating. Affordability is becoming a big problem. It's because of the prices. And I read this whole article about that ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages, have been growing. So I was wondering your read on that, and if you could talk to the listeners about adjustable rate mortgages, because nobody really talked about them for a long time with the interest rates so low. And what is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think right now the preferable product, because rates are so low, Dottie, it's actually a 30-year fixed, right? So that's always been popular, but now more than ever, the ARMs are low, but the 30-year fixed rate, if you can get it below 3%, people want to know, they want to have that comfort and sort of that, if they're even somewhat conservative, they're going with the 30-year fixed rate, right? ARMs have always been popular, especially in New York, where there's a lot more finance folks that get bonuses at the end of the year. They can pay down their mortgage at the end of the year. But now with so many recast options as well, which is, let's say you lock in at on a 30-year fixed rate, rates go lower. You can always do a rate mod, which really doesn't have any closing costs to go along with the rate modification. So there's a lot of different programs that folks can take advantage of right now. One of which, Dottie, I wanted to mention on the show here today because it's crucial. Fannie Mae came out with a program called Refi Now, Fannies. And it's a program that just came out live on June 5th, but banks are starting to adopt it. So slowly they're adopting it. So some banks will have it, some banks won't. It just came out last month. But really what it comes down to is it's estimated to help at least 2 million homeowners lower their interest rate that they pay on their mortgage. Some of the qualifications are that households' earnings that have 80% or less of their area's median income are eligible for this program. And some of the things to know is that these borrowers that are eligible, and it has to be a Fannie Mae-backed mortgage. So basically anything that's a conforming loan amount. So in New York, if you have a loan that's less than $716,000, you should check with your bank. And if your income is lower than the 80% of the median income in the area, you also have to have had no late payments in the last 6 months. and no more than one late payment in the last 12 months, and you should have at least 97% equity in your property, and your FICO score has to be at least above 620. And what lenders are doing and what they're mandated to do due to this program is that they have to lower your payment at least by $50 or more, or 50 basis points or lower, which is 0.5% on the rate, Dottie. And there's no cost to this as well.
Okay.
So it's a new program that Fannie's helping them. You know, there's a lot of information there, but just to dumb it down.
And so I'd like you to do, because this is very important. People do not know about it. And it could make a big difference in what they pay if they're informed.
It can. Yes.
So maybe,
correct.
I don't know, a break is coming up. Maybe you could slow it down and try it one more time, because there's a lot of things. Or maybe
go through it
again next week, because this is really important. And this is why we do this show. Because it is impossible for even us to keep up on all the things that go on and all the changes that happen every day of the week.
No way.
And that's why we deal with experts. But an informed person, okay, a lot of people don't take advantage of things because they're not informed. Sometimes they're just too busy. I mean, even refinance. I read that, like, I don't know, 60% of the people didn't refinance and have high mortgage payments. So
That's true, Dottie.
Okay,
you know what? After the break,
I'll slow it down and just go through it. And I will tell our guest,
definitely,
Brooklyn, that I'll move him up a little bit. And I hope that we'll get to inflation or we'll get that in. But this is so important. And sometimes on the show, when I have a plan to talk about certain things, something new comes up that supersedes. That is that important that I think I have to go back and say, let's learn this first, because this is new. No one knows it, and it can save you a lot of money. A lot. And, you know, I don't know how this pandemic's going to fall out. I don't. Ace, what happens when people can't afford? I mean, I know what happens with tenants, but what happens when they can't afford their mortgage payment? When this whole, you know, all
I think right now, you know. Correct. And with the forbearances that were going on during the pandemic, as long as you're reaching out to the bank, again, you know, I want to emphasize to our listeners, the banks are not here to take away your homes, right? They're not in the business of collecting assets. So the number one thing that I always emphasize, and Dottie, you mentioned this, Stephen, we've mentioned this before on the show, is if you're having a hard time paying, or you think you're going to have a hard time paying, contact your financial institution, contact your bank, let them know. And they'll work out payments, right? Especially with the pandemic, banks are more open more than ever to really work with you, right? So if you can't pay for your mortgage, don't just go and not communicate that to the banks and default on your mortgage. That's the worst thing that you can do, because if you don't pay for at least 3 to 6 months, then there will be action taken. Of course, there's been a huge backlog with the different banks out there. But again, always reach out, you know, send them an email, call a representative, call a loan officer, and work out what you can do, right? They can work on payments with you. There's a lot of things that they can do with you, but the biggest probably sin that you could do is not communicate your struggles and challenges to the bank, because they are willing to help, especially during the pandemic. Yes.
Be proactive.
That's it,
and
Dottie.
By the way, if there was ever a time that I've seen them do so much, it's now. I mean, you know, we would have.
That's right.
You know, 2007, 2008, so many people lost their homes and it was a mess. They are really doing everything that I think is humanly possible. In some cases, I almost think too much. Okay. So that people can stay in their homes, can stay if they're, you know, in their rentals. They're subsidizing. You know, as if your income's low. I honestly kind of think they didn't do enough for the landlords. So I wonder how many people want to be landlords now. But if you stay informed. And so, Ace, I am going to Jerry Minsky is going to come on at the 11. I'm going to push him off. I'm going to tell him to come on at like 11:10. I would love after the break you just go through that one more time, because it is so important.
Definitely.
And, you know, you can't listen to something once and know it all. So we'll continually repeat that, and Stephen will repeat some of the new things that are changing. a couple of times a week, a couple of shows, because it's a lot to absorb. Or go back and listen to the show again, which you can always do. We're signing off for a quick break with the 11 o'clock news. We'll be back to talk about subsidies, inflation, and Brooklyn. You're listening to Ion Real Estate, 866-970-9622. By all means, call in. We'd love to hear from you. I probably have 150, 200 Dear Dottie questions. I will get to them one day.
Ion Real Estate with Dottie Herman is sponsored by Citizens Bank N.A.